ASAP, any score, any place. We'll pull up on your boat, gang, or don't bang.
Bro, who's making this shit? No, who did this?
Let's go! Come on!
I'm so tired from watching.
90-yard touchdown! 90-yard touchdown!
What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer. We are two writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and now also write for the LA Football Network covering the Chargers. And we've been covering the Chargers together for over five seasons. We also do our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly on Facebook. And this is our third season as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys. Well, I think that was another very enjoyable episode of Hard Knocks. I definitely thought there was too much Rams on this week's episode, and we'll get into that. But before we get into our recap of this week's Hard Knocks episode, we're going to be talking about the fact that one Chargers star rookie has been sitting out of practice, and we'll talk about what that potentially means, and also the fact that one Chargers coach in the Hard Knocks episode said that he contracted the coronavirus. So that'll be the news before we get into the recap of Hard Knocks. We'll be getting to a ton of things, including Justin Herbert working on his confidence. We're talking about another player on the Chargers getting called out for being overweight, and then some of the other funniest moments of the episode as well. But let's go ahead and get into it. On Tuesday, we found out that one Los Angeles Chargers star rookie is sitting out of practice, and one Chargers coach tested positive for the coronavirus. This is Daniel Wade with your joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. On Tuesday, it was reported by multiple Chargers beat writers that star rookie linebacker Kenneth Murray, who the Chargers drafted in the first round of the 2020 draft, was not participating during the team drills of the Chargers practice. No one elaborated whether or not he was able to participate in individual drills, but David, this is definitely not a good sign for Murray, because with his talent, with his overall athleticism and his strengths where the Chargers have weaknesses, at this point you would think that he would need to be on the field as much as possible, and for him to not be getting reps on any day of training camp while everything that's going on has restricted training camp to what it is now, it can't be a good sign.
This is definitely not a good sign for the Chargers or for Kenneth Murray to see him not participating in individual drills, because that means more than likely he's dealing with some sort of injury, and that's just not something the Chargers can really put up with or take, especially because Chargers defensive coordinator Gus Bradley said that he's coming along really, really well. He said he's been a surprise on how well he's been able to pick everything up. Also talked about how he spied the quarterback a lot in college, and he hasn't shown that he was behind on any of those responsibilities in practice up to this point. He also said that they're trying to lock Kenneth Murray into one position and do that before trying to teach him multiple other positions. But that's going to be really difficult to do, Daniel, if he's not on the football field where they need him most. He is a rookie in the NFL in such a crazy offseason. He really needs all of the reps that he can get. So hopefully this absence is very, very short.
And we may hear more about it today when head coach Anthony Lynn addresses the media, because you know it will be brought up. But him trying to be the Chargers Mike linebacker right now, a position that is held currently by Denzel Perryman, a second round pick from a few seasons ago, and him not being able to be out there has to be a detriment. And of course you hate to guess about injuries, but at this point it just doesn't seem like there'd be any other reason why he would be sitting out at this point, because obviously he's on his rookie contract, so he's not going to be holding out. But another thing that we saw during the Chargers Hard Knocks episode, which aired on Tuesday night, was that one of the Chargers coaches, Seth Ryan, actually contracted the coronavirus. He's an offensive quality control coach that mostly works with the wide receivers. But during the episode, David, you saw what happened with the Chargers when he first tested positive, and then later on in the episode, it ended up turning out to be a false positive.
Yeah, definitely. You got a great glimpse on what the NFL protocols were in a situation like this. And if you're thinking to yourself, the name Seth Ryan sounds familiar, that's because he is the son of former Jets head coach Rex Ryan. So definitely a highly touted coaching tree So the apple did not fall far from the tree in this case. This also showed you all the things that the NFL was trying to do to try to keep their players safe. They gave GPS trackers to all the players to try to make sure that they knew exactly where everybody was for contact tracing purposes, so they can try to isolate any positive tests, so they can try to stop the spread. This information is invaluable to the Chargers organization and everybody that's trying to keep everybody safe. Also, as soon as that news came out about the positive test, all the wide receivers were immediately sent home and all the meetings were conducted on Zoom until the information came out that that was a false positive. Also, if they ever get false positives, they have to get two negative tests before they're able to get back in the building. Seems like the Chargers and the rest of the NFL are doing a very good job of keeping everybody safe. Hopefully that continues.
And the only coach until that point that we knew had it at some point was the head coach, Anthony Lynn. And I think the Chargers got a really good wake-up call onto how devastating that could be for a team, because every single Chargers wide receiver had to basically get tested again and get tested multiple times before they were let back into the facility, and had to do all of their meetings virtually on Zoom calls. And for the Chargers, seeing how bad it could have been should definitely show them why it's so important for them to be following along with these protocols and how quickly things can go badly if they are not following them. At the end of the day, though, for the Chargers, it's great news because all of these guys were back at practice very soon. They have still not had any positive tests since the players returned to the team facilities. But we do have two more segments to get into. We're going to be recapping last night's episode of Hard Knocks. There's a ton to get into, mainly focusing on Joey Bosa asking Melvin Ingram about what kind of fish he likes, coming up after this. But first, I need to tell you guys about the best protein bar on the planet. If you want something that's good for you and also tastes great as well, the only protein bar to go to is the Built Bar. Built Bars are the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and now they are new and improved with some new flavors. You have caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and lemon almond cheesecake. I mean, say no more. All of the bars are 100% covered in chocolate. They're all soft and easy to chew, and I can easily say they're the best protein bars that I've had. I mean, I just haven't had any that also that gave you the health benefits of the Built Bar while also actually tasting good. Usually, it's one or the other. Right now, you guys can get a free cooler with your purchase of Built Bars while supplies last, and all you have to do is go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. All right, David. Well, once again, I find myself very thankful that we have Hard Knocks covering the Chargers this season. And once again, I find myself very resentful towards the Los Angeles Rams for having to be a part of that as well. And this week's episode started mainly with the Rams and then got into a little bit of Chargers and then got into some Chargers. But I thought, David, it was another good episode. I thought it was another episode where we saw a lot of things that really stood out, and I think once again the Chargers took the spotlight. I thought they're parts of Hard Knocks, even though according to Gilbert Manzano they were on the screen less time than the Rams. I thought their parts definitely stood out more.
And yeah, we're not biased whatsoever in Never. Any way, shape, or form. No, not on the Locked On Chargers podcast. But I thought it was a great episode, honestly. But I'm loving this every single minute of it. I'm soaking it all in. I think the Chargers have the more interesting characters, and that was really highlighted in this show from the beginning, talking about Austin Eckler, and then getting into some undrafted free agents, and then just getting into some great conversations with guys like Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. A lot of that bits of information I really thought shined through this episode.
Yeah, we have a lot of good stuff to get into for this episode, but the first part of the episode for the Chargers, when it started showing them out at camp, was mainly them reminiscing on getting Austin Eckler a few years ago as an undrafted free agent. He wore the number 3 for the Chargers in his first training camp with them, and really just focusing on how important it was for the Chargers to have that fourth preseason game, David, because even Austin Eckler was saying that without that fourth game to really go out there and shine, he probably doesn't make the Chargers, and now he's their feature back.
And if you don't believe that, just go back to the conversation that Anthony Lynn and Tom Telesco had when they said, hey, if we didn't have that fourth preseason game, Austin Eckler, we wouldn't even have found him. We wouldn't have known anything about him. And so that really, I think, shines a spotlight on what the undrafted free agents are going to have to do in this offseason to be able to make this team. Yeah, there are more opportunities to get on an NFL roster with the expanded practice squad positions, but there is no preseason games for you to go out there and have game film to be able for the coaches to be able to break down and spotlight you. You're going to have to do that every single day in practice. So the mistakes are going to get maximized and the plays might not get maximized as much. So you have to make as many of them as humanly possible to be able to really make this team this year.
And Austin Eckler, I remember when he was in training camp that year, I mean, he had a lot of buzz around him. Mostly people were just saying, where the hell did this guy come from? Because he's making plays out here, he's making NFL players miss tackles on him. And at the end of the day, what got him over the top was that fourth and final preseason game where he had a few different chunk plays, and in his own words, showed that he could play at this level. And all of this was in the context of him actually talking to an undrafted free agent just as he came into the league, Darius Bradwell, one of the running backs the Chargers brought in this year to compete for a roster spot. And it seemed like Darius Bradwell is the guy that HBO is going to be focusing on as their undrafted free agent, the token undrafted free agent that is heavily focused on just so he can get to the end and miss the cut and everybody's heartbroken. But they were definitely spotlighting him on this episode, Dave, and it showed him going through some drills. But mostly what it was the Chargers telling another player that he's super out of shape.
Yeah, and it came up all over the place. I mean, even Anthony Lynn talking to Darius Bradwell face-to-face was like, man, you need to lose a little bit of weight. You're a little bit heavy. Where are you at right now? He says about 242. He said, hey, you need to drop some of that. You're playing weight. You know, when I watched your tape, it was 235. And he said, yeah. He said, what you been doing, man? And he's like, well, I've been cooped up in the room, haven't been able to go anywhere. But that seems like a little bit of a cop-out to me, honestly. I mean, these guys are all professional athletes, Daniel, so they have to be self-motivated and make sure that they have themselves in the best physical shape that they can be in. But it definitely seems like Hard Knocks is going to be focusing on Darius Bradwell as their undrafted free agent that they kind of want to showcase to the rest of the world.
Yeah, and I think they picked a pretty tough position for the guy to make it onto the team as. But as far as his weight, they also showed Anthony Lynn talking with one of the other people in the front office saying that he came in to camp at 253. His playing weight was at 235. But yeah, when Coach Anthony Lynn is talking about, you know, that's not what you were when I was watching you on tape. That combined with their strength and conditioning coach, John Lott, getting in some extra conditioning with Bradwell, and I thought, you know, they had to show that him staying after and conditioning a little bit more, and him saying, hey, bro, your coach is a former running back. Like, you're not going to get away with that with him specifically. So that's definitely going to be a theme to this, is him, you know, trying to get in shape, trying to fight for a roster spot. But, I mean, they already have three guys that are almost a lock to make the roster with Austin Eckler and Justin Jackson and Joshua Kelly, their draft pick from this year. So it's going to be tough, especially if they want to keep a fullback, because last year was three running backs, one fullback that made the initial 53-man roster. But as a big guy myself, I definitely felt for Darius Bradwell. And I think it also showed a spotlight on not all of these guys have, you know, their own personal home gyms, especially a guy like this who's an undrafted free agent, not really making any kind of money at all. I mean, if you're trying to self-quarantine yourself, because guess what? The number one thing you can do to not make the team is not showing up overweight. It's being an undrafted free agent, getting the coronavirus by doing something reckless, and then you get off the team that way. So I can feel for him in that sense. Obviously, if you're trying to make an NFL roster, there has to be some sort of self-responsibility where you're taking it upon yourself to stay in great shape, because you're not going to be able to be anything less if you're trying to make the roster as an undrafted free agent. And we saw that with Anthony Lynn last week talking to PJ Johnson, a defensive lineman that they had, and him telling him, hey, you need to get in better shape. I'm going to be honest with you. You need to get in better shape. As he was telling everybody else, they're going to get a call back basically the next week to come back on the team. But we did get some more showtime for Justin Herbert, the Chargers' sixth overall pick from the last draft. And I thought it was another really good insight to how Justin Herbert is coming along. And it starts with, you know, them saying that he has a kind of a quiet confidence about him. And I would definitely agree with that. But it's him in it by himself in a room shooting a paper ball into a trash can, making sure he made it first, and then giving the camera a little Kobe look like, yeah, what's up? Like, what about it kind of thing. And I really liked that part of it. I mean, you just kind of saw, like, you know what, at the end of the day, this kid's a baller. You know what I mean? He's a gamer. He loves football. He loves being competitive, multi-sport athlete, and all of those things, even if it doesn't show. And that led to really one of the bigger teaching moments, David, because one of the biggest things that they spotlighted in this episode was him trying to convert to taking snaps from under center after taking so many snaps in the shotgun at Oregon, and him, you know, transitioning to the NFL where he's going to have to be able to do that after not really ever doing it in college.
Well, yeah, I think we had such a great example of all the communication that a quarterback is going to do with Phillip Rivers for so many years here at watching the Chargers, that we didn't really realize, you know, a quarterback that comes from a smack instead of, you know, calling out a cadence, you know, how big of a transition that is. I mean, that's how far back they're going in training camp. That's the finite details that they're focusing on. And even when they were practicing it, Anthony Lynn noticed that Justin Herbert was tipping, whether he was going to do run or pass based on the inflection of or tone of his voice. It was great to hear that level of what they're working on, because Anthony Lynn said, hey, defenses in the NFL are so good that they will pick up on any little difference. And also that was reinforced with a conversation with his new veteran right tackle, Brian Bulaga, who was just going into that cadence more in depth and was also saying, hey, just watch how Tyrod Taylor does it. His cadence is consistently the same, and, you know, you're going to learn this, you're going to get better. But seeing that little bit of insight, I think that right there is what makes Hard Knocks so special.
Absolutely. And let's just, I mean, talk about the fact that Brian Bulaga talks exactly how you would expect Brian Bulaga to talk. I mean, totally blue collar, just a dude out there playing football, a total football guy's guy for the most part. You know, Brian Bulaga, Iowa, like that's exactly him to a T. Just no nonsense. He's going to tell you how it is. And in this case, I mean, it was a pretty candid conversation with Justin Herbert, with Brian Bulaga saying, if you just fire off, there's no timing for the lineman to get good jumps off the effing ball. As a quarterback, you want us to get off the effing ball. And I thought that was just so funny. And I think what it comes down to is kind of what Anthony Lynn said, like, you if you're going to do it one way, make sure you're doing it like that both times. So if you're doing a running play and you're saying the cadence super quietly and then yelling it on a passing play, if you're going to say it quietly all the time. If you're going to yell it all the time. And I think really the one thing that comes through, David, is just him trying to find his confidence. And you saw that during a film session with Pep Hamilton, the quarterback's coach, who's in his first year, when Pep Hamilton said, you can ease the angst of the offensive lineman by confidently saying, this is what we're doing. And I think that that's something that Justin Herbert is going to have to get accustomed to, because you don't have to be the loudest guy out there, but you do have to inspire the respect of the guys that are blocking for you.
Not only the guys that are blocking for you, but the guys that are catching passes from you as well. And I really loved a comment that he made to Keenan Allen, where he's like, hey, man, I'm your assistant. My job is to get you the football. And Keenan Allen just basically said, I love it, man. So that little bit right there, I think, just shows you his confidence, shows you, you know, his presence. And yeah, as a quarterback, you have to have that commanding presence. And I think that's the mental part of the game that Pep Hamilton was putting that extra special attention into Justin Herbert. And also Anthony Lynn commented on it saying, yeah, he's a little bit of a quieter guy, but we're trying to let him come out and find himself out there as a leader. And I think that will come with time, but that's, again, I just love the comprehensive approach to Justin Herbert as far as the education and getting him ready for, you know, being a starting quarterback in this league, because inevitably and eventually that is going to be the case. He is going to be the guy, and the Chargers have to make sure that he's ready to go.
Well, I think the part I liked about it the most is just how inquisitive that he is. I mean, he's asking Brian Bulaga, how do I do this better? You know, what do you guys like? And I like that part of it. When Anthony Lynn tells him he's tipping your hand, he's like, all right, well, what do I have to do to not do that. You know what I mean? So he wants to learn. I'd rather have a guy like that than a guy that thinks he knows everything and doesn't want to listen to any of the coaching. I would way rather have the guy that's very coachable. And it seems like Justin Herbert
eager
wants to get
better. Eager to learn.
He definitely is. And I thought for him, I mean, his confidence, I think, will end up shining through. And I think it's not like he's a wallflower. It's not like he's not talking to anyone. He's joking around with people. He's out there with the guys. And I think he just has to kind of grow into his own. But I definitely see kind of a quiet confidence in there somewhere. So I thought that was definitely a cool part. One of the cool things that you just don't get without HBO's Hard Knocks. But we do have some more stuff we need to get into, including a cornhole tournament, as well as the funniest moments from week two of Hard Knocks coming up after this. But one of the things that I've used so much during quarantine is DoorDash. I mean, I want to support local restaurants, but I also don't necessarily want to go out there and put myself in harm's way to go get it. And the best thing for that is DoorDash. And I mean, every single restaurant I really ever go to shows up on there. They have a crazy selection. I think it's something like 250 restaurants delivered to my house just where I live. So anything you want from Wendy's, the Cheesecake Factory, Chili's, all of those things you can find on DoorDash. And it's just nice for them to come to your house. You can get a contactless delivery. They will drop it off at your doorstep in a good amount of time. And anytime I've had any issues with DoorDash, they're so quick to just give you all of your money back, give you credit towards your next order, no questions asked. That's one of my favorite parts about it. And right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app. When you download the DoorDash app and enter the code LOCKEDON, that's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word. That's promo code LOCKEDON for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Another one of the things that we got to see in this week's Hard Knocks episode is the tracker that all of the players have to wear around the facility at all times. And we touched on it a little bit earlier in the news segment. Basically, they can use it for contact tracing. But one of the things that it does is it beeps red when you're within 6 feet of another player who is wearing the wristband tracker. So at the beginning, it shows Jerry Tillery in there with the tracker on. And then one of the coaches is like, what does the red beeping mean? He's like, it means you're too close to me. Get away from me. You know, it was pretty funny. It also led to Mike Pouncey getting out there and just basically yelling at everyone on the sideline, hey, get away from me. 6 feet, social distance. So I thought that was one way to kind of bring some levity to the whole coronavirus thing, just because so much so in these episodes, they're focusing on COVID-19 and how these players are trying to really limit the risk that they're incurring every time they show up for practice. And it led to some funny moments, David.
It definitely did. I mean, yeah, they're cracking jokes and you know, making everybody laugh about it. But it also, I think them constantly talking about it is keeping it in the forefront of their minds, because it is something that they're going to have to worry about and be cognizant of at all times moving forward. Also, another guy that I thought was pretty funny is Denzel Perryman as well. Yeah. He's sitting next to one of his other teammates and he's just walking around, and even if he's, you know, just getting close or he's walking away, he's just like, hey man, 6 feet, get away from me. I'm gonna go ahead and walk.
Well,
and
what he was wearing,
I'm gonna walk over here.
There was nobody that looked like they were trying to stop the spread of coronavirus more than Denzel Perryman, wearing not just like a neck gaiter that was the Chargers, but also sunglasses, also a beanie. I mean, you couldn't even see his face.
But you know how extra Denzel Perryman is. Of course. I mean, that's just who he is. That's his personality. And honestly, I wouldn't have expected anything other than that. But speaking of those trackers, man, one thing I thought was really, really
funny.
The best
part.
And yeah, honestly, one of the best parts of the episode is when Mike Williams realized that he did not, in fact, have his tracker on. One of the other, and he asked one of his other teammates, he's like, yeah, I don't need that tracker, right? Everything's good. He's all, yeah, I don't know if you want to get fined $50K. And he immediately starts running back to the facility to get his tracker. He said, I need all my money.
That was hilarious. I mean, so real, too. I mean, all these guys make a lot of money, but when you see how much they're tripping, even something over like $50,000, you realize it's like, all right, that's a lot of money to these guys. That's a lot of money to anyone for the most part. But that was definitely the funniest part of the tracking whole thing up, of the tracking devices. But that brings us into our next part, where we're just going to be talking about some of the funniest parts of the episode. And I think we start with Joey Bosa asking what kind of fish Melvin Ingram likes. And it led to a conversation I never thought I would hear from Melvin Ingram, him saying that he likes Branzino, Joey Bosa agreeing with him, and then him giving a little lesson saying, Hey, did you guys know that some people eat the eyeballs too? Because it is a whole fish. And him saying, some people say that they have the most nutrient in them. I ain't eating no eyeballs. Like, it was just absolutely hilarious. I mean, just the stuff these guys talk about. Obviously, Melvin Ingram is going through like a contract dispute, but he is right in the middle of it. And even though we didn't get to see any insight into Melvin Ingram's contract, maybe we'll see it on the next episode because they didn't get to even the padded practices at this point in it. Maybe we'll see a little bit more next week, but he definitely had some funny moments.
Yeah, Melvin Ingram is a character. I mean, definitely a guy that, I mean, Super Melvin is someone I was looking forward to watching and also just exposing to the rest of the NFL. I want everybody to know who this guy is. Obviously, you know, we know, we watch the Chargers and listen and do, we soak as much Chargers knowledge up as we can possibly get. So we know about Melvin Ingram, but we want everyone else to know about Melvin Ingram. And I think Hard Knocks is definitely doing that, especially a conversation and, you know, just a back and forth he had with Justin Jones and them talking about height. And Melvin Ingram's like, what, you 5 foot nothing? And they're just talking about traps. And man, that conversation was hilarious. Justin Jones like, I'm taller than you. You know, I could see, I'm looking over you right now. And Melvin Ingram's like, it's just because you're raising your head up, man. I mean, the things, like you said, the things that these guys are talking about is downright hilarious. But one of my favorite lines, honestly, is when was from John Lott, the strength and conditioning coach, when they were talking to Darius Bradwell. And he said, hey, you know, what you do in the dark will come to the light. So don't be stinking eating those stinking tacos at stinking midnight.
Yeah, I mean, we've all had some tacos at midnight. I'm not personally against it, but obviously when you're trying to make an NFL team, you have to make some concessions, and that has to be one of them. I mean, poor Darius Bradwell. That's what I just keep going back to. I just that sucks so much to be that guy on there. But that Melvin Ingram, Justin Jones thing, bro, you crazy, you ain't taller than me. You're raising your up, you ain't got no traps. And then he proceeds to feel Melvin Ingram's traps and has to admit you got a little something. But the best part of the conversation was Melvin Ingram saying, bro, you got a long ass head. And like, as if that's the reason that he's, you know, shorter than Justin Jones. He also went along the sidelines like, hey, can you guys believe that Justin Jones says that he's 6'3" and I'm only 6'1"? Like, hell not. Like, it was just so funny. But there was also another good moment where you got to see the players playing cornhole against each other, specifically some of the members of the secondary, basically all of the corners except for Michael Davis. And then Derwin James is also there, but it starts with Derwin James hanging out with Casey Hayward, Brandon Faison. You also had Desmond King and Chris Harris Jr. They're all playing cornhole because, I mean, they can't really hang out with anyone except for the people they're exposed to every day. And just like a real athlete, David, Derwin James starts out absolutely terrible, gets the hang of it, and starts draining shots at the end and winning the game.
I mean, do you expect anything less from the ultra mega athlete Derwin James?
Of course.
Come on. This guy just seems like anything that he puts his mind to, and he does just a couple of times, he's that type of athlete that he can conform to what that game is and perform. But also, I'd like to point out, it seemed like everybody was doing a little bit better when they were had a little bit more space to maneuver on both sides. Hey, Daniel, I mean, sometimes I like to be on one side, sometimes I like to be on the other, but I'd like to have the freedom to be able to throw my shots where I want to. So I'm glad that they evened that up. But, yeah, I thought this was a good little snapshot of them having some fun and also being competitive. I mean, hey, these guys are competitors. They've been competitors their whole life. So they want to win at everything that they do, even if it's just a fun game of cornhole.
Yeah, well, I mean, when Brandon Faison has to shoot from a bush, I mean, that's never an ideal way to play cornhole. I mean, I've played a few games myself, and you never want to be brushing up against a bush. I just have to blame, I guess, whoever's tiny yard that was. But either way, I think it also showed just how close the Jack boys are. You know, I mean, those guys really are close. They all really like each other. I mean, even Chris Harris Jr. said that Desmond King, out of all people, was one of the reasons that he came to the Chargers, because they actually knew each other already. But that was a cool little moment. And I think really one of the best moments of the show was something we talked about wanting to see, was just, hey, are we going to see some trash talking on the field, two players getting into it? And it ended up being Desmond King and Virgil Green. So I had to rewind it about 50 times to actually get the exact parts of the conversation, but I got it. And really the argument went like this. It just starts with Virgil Green saying, get the F off me. Desmond King telling him to shut the F up. And then Virgil Green going, that's what you want to do. Do it. I don't play that. And then if you listen very closely in the background, you can hear Keenan Allen saying, "Ooh, getting hostiles. I told y'all about these damn helmets." And that, to me, was my absolute favorite part. If you want to look it up, it's 50-34. It took me forever to even realize who was saying it, but there's no doubt about it. It's Keenan Allen, you know, talking in the background, and he had a couple of moments in this episode. But, David, we knew things were going to get ratcheted up a little bit when the pads came on, but even the difference between walkthroughs and just putting the helmets on was substantial.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you put those helmets on and you just immediately see that that intensity level gets raised just that much. These guys are tired of walking through, tired of having to limit themselves. They want to go out there and play football. And them putting the helmet on right there, I think, is that first glimpse, that first taste of getting the pads back on and really being able to go out there and work on your craft the way that they intended to. And honestly, for me, Daniel, I think one of the best parts of the episode, the one-on-ones with guys going up against each other in helmets, and then you just hear Anthony Lynn towards the end of the episode go, "You got to be the slowest freaking linebacker I've ever seen." And I definitely died, and I definitely would have paid good money, Daniel, to find out exactly which linebacker he was talking about.
I know. They have no issue putting Darius Bradwell's weight out there to everybody, but when Anthony Lynn's calling somebody the slowest linebacker they've ever seen, I mean, you don't even get to know who it is. But that was definitely really funny. And obviously, we didn't even get to see the padded practices yet, so I think that's something to look forward to next week. And I think, you know, and we'll be here to recap that for you guys, but it's impossible for them to stay that close to what the Chargers are actually doing live and what they're doing at training camp, even, you know, like right now or a couple of days before the episode comes out. But the good news is on tomorrow's show, we're actually going to be having someone who gets to go to those practices to give us a real insight on how these practices are going. Because Fernando Ramirez, someone who covers the Chargers for Sports Illustrated, a recurring guest on the show, is going to be joining us tomorrow to give us all of the insight of what practice has been like so far in the Chargers training camp. So you're definitely going to want to check back in for that. But until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC. Make sure to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us on Apple Podcasts or giving us a follow on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. If you guys want to get on the voicemail show, we've already gotten a couple, but you can still get on this week's voicemail show if you call into 323-524-7924, because we try to get every Chargers voicemail played on the show. But we'll be back with you guys tomorrow with Sports Illustrated's Fernando Ramirez. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.